Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, this morning will not be very sermonatic, if you will, but I want us to participate together. You know, every once in a while, or on a regular basis around here, we participate. We interact with one another. We build relationship with one another. And so, the question I'm about to ask is not rhetorical. It is something that I'm going to have some of you respond to in front of these people. I want to ask you this question. If you were given a moment to give a message to this body, this gathering, if you were given the opportunity to give a message, what would it be? What would you want to say to this, what we'll call it, church? What would you want to say to this church? I told you it wouldn't be rhetorical. But we'll do this the old-fashioned way, where you can put your hand up, and I'll make my way to you, and I will hand you this microphone. And you will have a moment of saying, you know, this, if I could say something to this church body, this is what I would want to convey to them. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it this morning. If you go too long, then the sound guys will say, I don't know what happened, that just the sound went out. I know you're saying, hey, if that happens to us, we get to do that to you. So what message would you bring? What would you say to this church? Helen, I'm going to give you this microphone. You don't have to stand up if you don't want, but I want us to pass this microphone down. And it is already on. Now, because it's in the middle of the row and it's in the back, and because it's Helen, I may not get that back.
When we look at the things that's going on in this world and things that could happen to us and to us as Christians, my message would be to fear not the things that can destroy the body, but fear those things that can destroy the spirit and the soul.
Well, we could all say amen and just go home now, Helen. That's a great word. That's a great word to us. Word of encouragement. Did I see somebody else's hand here? Jim. Well, I'll get to them. You can pass it to them next.
My daughter Jan died on April 6th, 2006, cancer. She was a youth minister with her husband. And she wasn't a prophet. But she said one thing above all the things she said. Time is short.
Thank you, Jim.
My name is Monica, and we are a new family in the area.
Well, then stand up.
And we're kind of coming and going. We're trying to figure out which church is best for us. We love
sure.
You guys. You're wonderful, absolutely.
We don't take it personal.
I work as a mental health professional in Venona, and I had a very difficult case this last week, and I was trying to encourage the family to reach out to local churches. So I said, I call one church, you call another, because I can't do everything for them. They have to learn to ask for help. Yes. And so I called a church in the area, in St. Charles, and I asked if they have any services or some kind of ministry towards the people in need, and they said they didn't. And at that point, I felt very ashamed, and I figured, I was thinking, what's the church is for? So that's my question today.
Question or message?
Either way.
I don't know if it was behind you or in front of you. Go behind you and then you can pass it forward. We will make our way to other sections of the church.
Most of you know me. My name is Rich. I just want to say that when you love the Lord with all your heart, you really do, you give him your all, and love each other as you would yourself, you can get prepared for anything. That's all.
Good morning.
This is a happy new bride, by the way. So.
First and foremost, giving honor and glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My name is Ariana. This is my husband, Bradley. One thing that I wanted to say is we are so blessed to be able to serve God openly here. In other countries, they don't have that option. They're being put to death for it. And we are just so blessed. And as we were singing that song this morning, I realized how unworthy I am to be able to worship him. And how unworthy I am for him to have been as merciful as he has been my whole life. I've made so many mistakes, and when I look back on it, I don't know how I got out of it. I know that it was his grace and his mercy that has brought us to this place. I was at a point last year, which was like the lowest point in my life. And when I look back on it, all I can see is me being on my face and seeking God, and he brought me through it. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give that message today that we are so unworthy, and he is so merciful, and he continues to bless us, and he continues to bring us through. So one thing that I read on Facebook, which has stuck with me forever, is instead of telling God how big your storm is, you tell the storm how big your God is. Because we serve a God that is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for everyone. So I just wanted to give you guys that message today. We are blessed.
Thank you. You said you read that on Facebook?
Yeah, I read it on Facebook.
Facebook finally did something good. Spencer, please.
Hi. My name's Spencer. It's my wife, Kelly. We've been coming here for a few years. I guess the message I would have is be kind to others, even strangers. The way I came to the Lord is through other people doing acts of kindness to me. When I thought, who is God? It's just see someone in need, help. See someone that isn't in need, help. Just kind word. Buy a random person a dinner. Says, you don't have to introduce yourself much. It's an act of kindness. You have no clue or idea what that'll do to someone the rest of their day, the rest of, and they may even pay it forward. They'll all come back. And God gets all the glory. It's not about you or I or anybody else. Just being kind to the next person, encouraging them. They'll do more for someone than you will ever know. And that's the message I would have.
Sounds biblical to me, Spencer. I mean, what brings us all to a place of faith and repentance? What's the scripture say? The loving kindness of God is what draws us to a place of repentance, forgiveness, change. Anybody else? What message would you give to this church? Darren. I know I said your name, but you can introduce yourself.
My name's Darren. many of you know this. Some don't, probably. But I have cancer. I'm in a 3-year cancer battle. And the message that this has been on my heart for a while, actually, so it's kind of ironic that you
it's not
present
ironic.
This opportunity
today. It's
not
ironic.
Today. Oh, sorry, I was diagnosed with cancer 3 years and 3 days ago today. And I went through traditional chemotherapy and radiation, and they said I was cured. I didn't have cancer anymore. And during that time, you know, I've considered myself a Christian and a believer my entire life, but my personal relationship with Jesus grew at that time. But after I was cured, according to the doctors, you know, my relationship waned again. It went back to kind of my status quo. And then my cancer came back. I was never cured. My message, though, is really about healing. There's only one person, one being that can heal us. And healing is not about getting rid of cancer. My healing began more after I was diagnosed the second time, in that I started developing my personal relationship with Jesus. I'm much closer to the Lord now, and it's an ongoing relationship, and we'll get better and better, I'm certain. But my message to you would be to seek healing before you get cancer. Don't wait to get sick to ask for healing.
Mrs. Anderson.
Yes, sir. I have to share with you, because the Word tells us that the greatest thing is love. And Patty brought to prayer meeting the other day, Patty Goodmanson, who isn't here today, on her tablet on YouTube, that showed this man laying in a doorway on a concrete. He had no shoes. He had no shirt. He was just a bum. People would look, and people were going by. And a young man came, and he had a bag. I hope I can do this. I noticed how dirty his feet were, the bottom of his feet. And this young man took out socks and gave this man out of the bag. And the man sat up, and he thanked him for them, and he took the socks. And then he stood up, and the young man prayed with him and took the shirt off his back and gave it to him. And I thought, that's Christianity, and that's love.
Jessica. Sure. You're going to have to wait a moment, John. You're the one that called me, right? Did you call me to turn around? Yeah, okay,
yes.
I want to make sure that was you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Sue. I'm new here. My message for you is to keep praying for your unsaved loved ones and never give up, never get discouraged. I was raised in a religion, and I was 36 years old before I met the Lord. My mom is still in that religion. She is 91 years old. And I pray for her all the time, along with my brothers and sisters. And I've been talking to her about forgiveness quite a bit lately. And I was raised in a very abusive family. And she has a lot of bitterness towards my dad, who has passed away. So she still holds unforgiveness towards him. So I've been talking to her about forgiveness, forgiving him. And I really haven't seen much progress, but I talked to one of my sisters the other day, and she was talking with my mom, and my mom said to her, "Sharon, I have got to forgive your dad." So I'm very encouraged by that, and I believe that is a big key, to bring her to the Lord.
We're going to pause. I want you to bow your head all over this room, would you please? If you have a family member who is not in right relationship with the Lord, I'm not asking you to pass judgment here, okay, final judgment, but if you know a family member, or if you don't have a family member, you have a close friend, I want you to bring their name right now before the Lord. Father, hear our prayers, and may your Holy Spirit move mightily upon these people whose names we brought before you. That your Spirit, Holy Spirit, do a work of salvation. Turn these people's hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would taste of your goodness, Lord, your grace, your mercy, your empowerment to be transformed. Lord, lead them around the pitfalls of works to try to get to heaven. And move them in personal faith where we receive your grace for salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. John, I'll give this to you, and then Jessica, I'll come over to you. What message, what would you want to say to this church?
I'm not here to, toot pastor's horn.
Okay, we'll go to Jessica's.
No, come on. The pastor said when he says to something, if you need any help, give me a call. He's the one who will do that. 2 years ago, my wife and I were stranded in Florida and no motel, and our motel business was shutting down. We had to get out, no place to go. And I remembered the Holy Spirit said, what did Pastor say? He said, call me. I called him. He did the thing that I couldn't do, loaned me the money, and we had another night in a motel. Now, this is a pastor who says what he says, and he means what he says. And we should be so thankful that we have a pastor like that. Now, I'm not done. I'm tooting your horn. On Tuesday, my wife and I are heading back to Florida. I hope I don't have to call him again.
If you have reached my voicemail, John, please leave a message. I may not call back. Yeah. What message would you give to this church?
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I've grown up in this church most of my life. My grandmother was a member here along with my dad growing up, and so we came here. We did go to church for another church for a short time, but came back here. And I noticed that here, sometimes you get that feeling that God wants you to do something or say something or pray with someone, and you kind of think to yourself, your body says, or your mind says, you know, hey, this is weird. You want me to go do what? You know, with who? Like, you know, there's been so many times where God has spoke to me and said, you need to go pray for this person. And I didn't know what I was praying about, but the words that came out of my mouth weren't mine. They weren't from me. And then people would come back and say, you know, thanks for that prayer. I really needed it. And that helped me through this week and the things that I'm going through. And I guess my message would be, like today, I wouldn't normally do this in front of all of you guys. I'm shaking. But my heart was so heavy with the Lord saying, I need you to say this. I need you to say this. And it was before I even knew this was going to happen. So quite awesome. But my message would be kind of to piggyback off what Brock said. When God talks to you and speaks to you and tells you to do something, not to ignore it. Because there's a reason for it. It may not be your reason. It may not be for you, but someone needs it. And if you don't respond, they don't get it. And they may need that. It may be the person that's thinking about their life being over. It may be the person that had something happen so bad and they don't know the Lord. And you just saying a simple prayer with them brings them to him or guides them to search for him. So I guess I still struggle with it too. I think everybody does, because our flesh and society gets in the way of what God wants us to do, because we're so worried about what everybody else is going to think or how we're going to look. Just not to listen to him. Because if you don't listen to him, after a while, you stop hearing his voice, and that's happened to me. And that's not good, because I'd lay in bed and say, Lord, why am I not hearing you anymore? You know, I need you to speak to me. And it's not until you start to obey him and what he's telling you that you'll hear his voice more. And so just don't ignore him. Just don't worry about everybody else. Do what he wants you to do, because in the end, he's the only one that matters, you know?
Marla. Go ahead. Tell us all about your husband. No, I'm kidding. What message would you want to give to this church?
Well, in light of what Darren shared, I think we came to the Lord. We received Christ probably, I think we were 22 or 23 years old. We were very young. My message, I think, that I want to share is that God is a God of the prodigals. And it doesn't matter how long or whatever you did or whatever has happened, he's always there. He never would turn you away. Right? Amen?
Amen.
So, God bless you, Darren. And thank you, Jesus.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, everybody. Would you please? Thank you, Molly. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to go to just a few verses and just make a couple of comments on them, and that's why this is really not sermonatic this morning. I wanted you to have opportunity to bring, what would you say to this church? Rachel, did you have your hand up? Come on up here, hurry up.
Hi, my name's Rachel, and this is going to be short and sweet, but I just wanted to really encourage you guys and urge you not just to come here on Sunday and to take that time for God and Jesus throughout your week. Something that I've done throughout my life is I've prayed a lot and just, I'm shaking, little prayers here and there and throughout my day and, you know, cleaning or whatever, but I just started reading a book called Draw the Circle. It's amazing. If you haven't read it, please read it. And that really changed my prayer life. I'm now taking the time like we do on Sunday, setting a time to pray, and that has changed everything. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. He wants what's best for you. And in order for him to really show that to you, you need to take the time for him, not just on Sunday, but you need to take the time even in the privacy of your own home. I just want to urge you to really do that.
Good girl. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I got to read verse 25 with it. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more because we see the day approaching, or time is short, as we heard this morning from Jim. You can't consider how we would spur one another on if we're not getting together. Consider how you can spur one another on, or some translations would say provoke one another to love and good deeds. This whole word spur and provoke they're pretty synonymous in the context of the original language. And it's about sharpening one another. It's about stimulating one another. It's about getting close to rouse someone. Sometimes that creates a little bit of aggravation. Husbands, you know what I'm talking about. There's something that you promised or you said you would do or you would get to. And she lets it slide for a day or two, and it's still not done. And she reminds you joyfully gently, without nagging. Yeah, that's fun. Atta boy. And how old is he? 2. Yeah, see? We are born with it. And so they remind us, and we get, yeah, I know, or I said I'd do it. Yeah, I'm sure you will, but when? And it can aggravate us. The fact of the matter is, it's something we should get done. And so sometimes there's a little bit of aggravation when the Holy Spirit speaks to us or we hear His Word or somebody shares something. It can be a little aggravating. It can feel like the Lord's pointing something out to us. But it's supposed to rouse us. And the point that is supposed to stimulate us is that we are supposed to have, in the context of the original language, we are supposed to have an emotional response to whatever it is that's spurring us or provoking us to do love and good deeds. We have an emotional response, but it's not just ending with an emotional response. It is supposed to have, we are supposed to have an emotional response that moves us to be productive. See? This happens in all of our lives. Those of you who are still with your parents, they let you know what still needs to be done or that hasn't been done. And it's aggravating. But it provokes you and moves you to be productive and to clean the room, mow the grass, pick up your clothes, clean the kennel. All those things that the rest of us have gone through. That we are to consider. In other words, give thought. Consider how we can spur, provoke one another on. Don't consider how we're supposed to aggravate one another. It doesn't mean that every time we're being provoked or having an emotional response, sometimes it's an emotional response of passion and excitement saying, yeah, that's right. Oh, good. Thanks for reminding me. Let us consider how we can spur one another on, provoke one another. This morning I said, what message would you give to this church? All of it was edifying. Some packaged it through a personal story of theirs, and then there was the lesson, the message. Consider how we can provoke one another. Now listen, that doesn't mean that every Sunday you come in here you got to say, hey, Pastor, give me the mic. It's not about a platform. Because God has given us all a platform in our life that when we interact with someone, that we can bring words of encouragement, words of inspiration, a story of ours that has a message that's seasoned with grace and mercy and the wisdom of God, healing and hope. So when we come together, or when you see somebody out in the marketplace, consider, how can I provoke, spur them on to love and good deeds? And remember this, that they are called to the same. And so when it is given unto you, be receptive. In Colossians chapter 3, it puts it this way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish, encourage one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those of you who, by the way, are getting distracted by saying, yeah, see, we should be singing hymns, not choruses. It says, and spiritual songs. That's just a side note. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's all on the heels of verse 15. Right away, you know, sometimes we'll say, yeah, I'm called to give a word of encouragement. I'm called to spur you on. I'm called to provoke you to love and good deeds. So you better listen up. There are some things that need to take place in us before we do that ministry. And it's this. It's we should let the Word of God dwell in our lives richly. Look, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, admonish, spur, provoke one another. You can't just come with the message. It's that our heart and our life needs to be seasoned by the Holy Spirit and the Word that He inspired. That His Word would dwell in us richly. It's on the heels of 15. Listen, here's the platform for sharing and admonishing and provoking one another. It's let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Wait a minute. Before you go admonishing and instructing and, you know, trying to bring all this encouragement, we are supposed to have the peace of Christ Jesus ruling in who we are. And that we are to let His Word dwell in us richly. Let's keep reading verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to what? What were you called to? Peace. You want to know what you're calling? Oh, what's the Lord calling me to do? And what's He calling me to do? Don't skip the callings that we have that are in plain black and white. He will bring other callings that come from Him to you to do things like Jessica shared. To obey and sense the calling of the Lord to go pray with somebody or do something or give something or whatever it is. But don't be just looking for the mysterious callings. Look at the callings that are plain to us. Like let the Word of Christ dwell in us. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. For we have been called to peace. And be thankful. That's the whole sentence there. And be thankful. These are the things that Christ desires, and it's who He is and who we want Him to be in our life that prepares us. That when we speak words of encouragement, it would carry His presence. It would be life-giving. It wouldn't be just quoting someone else. It wouldn't be just saying what we think is a clever phrase. It's that it's been seasoned by His very nature in our life. So that when we consider how we can spur and encourage one another on, it comes from a heart and a life that's already thankful, a heart that is not arrogant but filled with peace and not anxiety, not worry. Because His Word dwells in you richly. I'm going to close with this verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, it says, don't get drunk on wine, it leads to debauchery. Instead of those things, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual sayings, scripture. Speak to one another because it carries the nature of God and He is the life. You want to speak words of life to people? Then speak the life of Christ. Speak His Word. Christ is the living Word. Speak His words. Talk about who He is. Talk about the ministry and do the ministry of Christ with one another. But what empowers us to do that is not just regurgitating that which we have read or that which we have heard someone else say. Those things are great, and you can use them. But the life comes from Him as we say it. If we understand the calling to be a person who wants to give peace and a person who wants to give hope and a person who wants to give life, and you don't care about how smart you think you are or how smart and clever your phrase is, and that they should really go, wow, they're learned. It's not about that. It is about giving away life and hope and peace. And we do it and can give His word away when we first let His word rule our hearts. We're called to encourage one another. It means that you and I should actually take time to consider how we can do that. It says consider. In other words, stop and think about it. Pause. Consider. And then, edit. Look at the person next to you and say, you should probably edit some of the things you want to say. Now turn to them and say, if you want to run it by me first, I'm here to help you. We can consider ways, but because Christ's word rules in our heart and we are called to peace, those things begin to edit how they come out of us. Oh, we still make mistakes. We can still probably do it better. I know I can. But you know what? Let's do the foundational things first. Read His word, study His word. Let His word go through us and live in us, and we live according to it. Embrace the obvious calls of who He is and in His word, and let His mysterious calls come to us, promptings of the Spirit, however you want to put it. But let us consider, because there's a foundation of how we encourage and inspire and spur and provoke. Because as we do that, we also have our hearts prepared to receive from others that which they are trying to give as a gift to us. Just like you did this morning in this room. You shared things from your own life. You shared a message to bring encouragement, to bring inspiration, to say, those of you who are in this room, this is what I've gone through, but this is what the Lord is doing. Don't give up. Consider how you can spur one another on.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.